Our scripture comes today from Psalms chapter 16. I love the Lord because he has heard my appeal for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The ropes of death were wrapped around me, and the torments of Sheol overcame me. I encountered trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is compassionate. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. How can I repay the Lord all the good he has done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will worship the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the very presence of his people in the courts of the Lord's house.
Yeah. children. The starter just fell out. Refuel that empty think tank. So I've changed the title a little bit to Think Tank Empty. Maybe not. Maybe it's not as full as it should be, though. A lot of people seem to be running empty, though, at this Thanksgiving season. I don't know whether there's less to be thankful for. Frankly, there may be more. How do we know? Sometimes we look at things only from our side and not from God's side, what God is doing. We know that God is still the same God, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He has promised to supply all of our needs, that there's no shortages with Jesus. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. So I think we have as much or more, maybe more because we're still here, right? We have as much to be thankful for, more than in years past. So I want us to think about how to maybe fill up that think tank to where it should be, the full level. Our think tanks are reservoirs from which we dispense our thanks to those whom we owe a debt of thanksgiving. And certainly our God is number one in that list, or should be. We know that. How to refuel that empty think tank, though. That's why we're looking at the Psalms. I want us to look this morning at Psalms chapter 116, rather. One of the great psalms in the Bible, but not one of the more famous psalms. We can think of Psalm 100, for example, being the kind of the Thanksgiving psalm. But I want us to look here at this 116th psalm because I believe it is the expression of a grateful heart. The rabbis, you may know this or you may not, but the Jewish rabbis believe that this psalm was really the testimony of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a godly king, a descendant of David, and he had many trials in his life, not the least of which Jerusalem was being besieged with the armies of Assyria and could have easily been destroyed except for this man, this king who prayed. And God delivered Jerusalem with a great deliverance. Well, it was that Hezekiah who, we're told in Isaiah chapters 37 and 38, got sick. And that sickness was actually a sickness to death. God had told him that he was going to die. And so he prayed and sought the Lord and asked him to spare his life, to give him life. And I think we've all been there. We've all have prayed and asked God in the extremities of life to spare us, to let us continue to serve Him and to glorify His name. Well, He did that. I suppose you could say it was kind of a mixed blessing, as life really is. Life here has its pains, has its trials. But he was so thankful that God spared his life that he wrote, apparently, this Psalm 116. Now, some would dispute that, and it doesn't really say if you have a Bible that has the inscriptions written by David, for example. It doesn't say who it was written by. So we have to be a little bit humble about that, I believe, and not be dogmatic. But I really believe that this is the testimony of Hezekiah's healing, of God's healing, that is, of Hezekiah. And he wrote this wonderful psalm, Psalm 116. He began with the words, "I love the Lord because he has heard my appeal for mercy." Now you love the Lord because he has heard your prayers. And he has answered our prayers many times, all of us. Sometimes we don't always recognize that. Sometimes we don't always thank him for what he's done for us. But just think of it. You're here this morning because of an answer to prayer. Answer to your own prayer, but answer to prayers of others. God in his mercy has spared you. And so there is a preservation for which we certainly ought to be thankful for. The psalmist spoke of his plight. He said in verse 3, "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow." And again, the traditional Jewish interpretation of this psalm is that Hezekiah wrote this. And it was really a testimony, a testimony of praise to God for delivering him from death. In Isaiah chapter 38, I just want to read just a few verses there that kind of give us the background of that. It says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah had the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" I suppose some of you have had a death sentence like that. "You shall die and not live." and how that just maybe crushed your heart and crushed your spirit. And maybe it wasn't as clear as this. Maybe it wasn't a prophetic voice from God, but you just knew in your heart. Perhaps there was an illness that could have easily led to your death. And so you began to count your days. Really, it's a good idea for all of us to do that, isn't it? Because the Bible says that our days are numbered. Now, God only knows the number. But in this case, apparently he had told Hezekiah that he was to prepare for his death. And then in verse 2 of chapter 38, it says that, and this is in the book of Isaiah, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will heal you. I will add unto your days 15 years. And so there's a plight here that Hezekiah spoke about. We all share that plight because the Bible says it is appointed unto us once to die. We all must walk that veil. And we don't know when, we don't know how long the Lord has given us here. But Hezekiah, if Hezekiah indeed did write this, whether he did or not, doesn't really matter, because it is the testimony of a heart, of a soul that has been delivered from a terrible plight. We don't know what dangers, what snares, what pitfalls the Lord has delivered us from. Fred had an accident yesterday. I don't know whether you're aware of that, Fred Wilkerson, but he rolled his car up in the Sage Hen Pass. Could have easily been killed, I'm sure. So Fred's doing okay this morning, Christine? Got a headache. Yeah, bump on the head. You know, we say a bump on the head is all, but we pray that this didn't shake anything loose up there. But what a testimony of God's sparing that is. And none of us know how many things like that he has spared us from. So there's a plight, there's a prayer here. Here is the prayer preservation cycle. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And this is what Hezekiah was doing here. He was glorifying God for delivering him. And I know when Fred comes back, he's going to have some things to share like that, how the Lord, I'm sure, has watched over him. Now, didn't watch over the car. Apparently the car is toast. You don't know yet. Yeah, it didn't get burned, but it turned over, right? Well, cars can be replaced, right? But Fred can't be replaced. We're thankful that the Lord spared him. Prayer. We are to pray to the Lord in all. Doesn't the Bible say at all times, pray without ceasing? We are to pray when we are anxious. In everything by prayer and supplication, the Bible says, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. There's a promise. Thanksgiving for God's preparations or God's preservation should lead to thanksgiving. Prayer is the primary component of this living of thanks. An ungrateful attitude, on the other hand, will make prayer impossible. So there was a prayer here. Really, if it refers back to that prayer that Isaiah prayed, a prayer for healing, prayer that God would spare him, because he wanted to glorify him and magnify him as he did. I really think Hezekiah is one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. I think it's kind of sad that not more children are named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great and godly man, had a great faith. When the armies of Assyria came against Jerusalem, why, it looked like they were a steamroller that could not be stopped. And yet God stopped them. And I'm sure Hezekiah thought back to that. This is the kind of God that I have. A God that can stop an army. A God that can do anything. And so he prayed and God answered that prayer. So there's a preservation for which we can be thankful. There's also a provision. In verse 7, Hezekiah said, Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has been good to you, or bountiful, another translation. I believe the Holman Christian Standard Bible has bountiful. The Lord has been bountiful to you. And I'd like for us to think about his bountiful benefits to us. Rest. Now, maybe rest is not the first thing that comes to your mind. If you are a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he has promised you his rest. Has he not said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to give you that peace, that rest in your heart. Now, you may have pain and sorrow, but if you have Christ in your life, you have that rest promised to you. And I think this is the rest that Hezekiah spoke of when he said, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Do you feel maybe an unrest in your life today? Do you feel like maybe an anger that God has allowed some things to happen to your life that, and maybe to your loved ones? You don't understand. Well, I think that word is for you. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. The story is not completely told yet, is it, of your life? And you don't know what God is doing in your life. You may know some of the things that God is doing, but certainly not all of the things that God is doing. So I believe that this verse is for you. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I think sometimes telling us things that we already know, I think really you ought to be the best preacher in your life for your needs. You ought to let this spirit that Hezekiah had here, if Hezekiah did write these words, but let these words become yours. Say to yourself, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And I think as you will do like that song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So there's a rest in that provision, certainly a rescue. How can I repay the Lord, he says, for the good that he's done for me? But in between those two verses are some very important verses, and I just want to read to you what it says in verse 8. And I know maybe we didn't. But in verse 8, he goes on to say, you, Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You have delivered my soul from death. Rescue. Again, we don't know all of the pitfalls from which the Lord has rescued us. I don't know that I've shared this before here, but some of you may know I was in the Navy. Don't say anything. You thought it, though. I love you anyway. How many were in the good service? I thought so. I was in the Navy, and I was in Gitmo, Cuba. Guantanamo Bay, they call it Gitmo. I almost got swept out to sea. I was at a ship's party. We walked down, me and a buddy walked down to the seashore, and it's very rocky there, coral rocks, cliffs really, that rise up from the ocean. And it was stupid, I admit. But we were down there when the tide was coming in, and a big wave swept in from the sea and knocked us to the back of a cave, and I thought I was a goner. I really did. I thought, I would say my whole life passed through my mind, but I don't remember that. I just remembered that this is it. And because I started getting pulled out to sea, and those rocks were razor sharp. I knew that I wouldn't survive if I left that cave. But my buddy propped himself up in the cave. Somehow he reached down and grabbed me by the hair of my head, right there where I don't have hair now. Thankfully, I had hair. Praise God for that. I had a full head of hair, I guess, and enough that he was able to grab my head, my hair, and he held me until the water subsided. And many times I've thought back to that, remembered what God said in his word. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. A testimony, really, of many times, I'm sure. I know the Lord has spared me for a purpose. He spared you for a purpose. He's reached down, and like that hand, that unseen hand has held you, kept you from death, from a tragedy that only God could prevent from happening. So there's a rescue here. There's a restoration. Hezekiah says, how can I repay the Lord for all the good that he's done for me? But I want to read verse 9 there, going back. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I've said, I am greatly afflicted. In my dismay, I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I think when he was in this time of turmoil and this time where his soul just ached and he had this death sentence hanging over him. He thought these thoughts that really weren't true. All men are liars. And he began to think about how others, I think, were not sympathetic with him. And I think this is so normal for a person who's going through pain and difficulty and perhaps a death sentence hanging over them. But God restored him. And so he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And later, of course, he bears testimony to God, how God had delivered him. So there's a restoration, just those things alone, enough to be thankful, two-thirds of the way here at least, to have our thank tank filled. But also because not only of a preservation are we to be thankful, because of a provision, but also because of a prospect. Hezekiah says, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and worship you. I left out some verses. I want to read them. In verse 13, he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Now, that cup of salvation, I read in some commentaries, some ideas that commentators had what that means. I think it just means, I will just thank you for your salvation. I will drink deeply of it. I know that it's grace. And to receive that salvation, you can't lift up something that you have not received. And so I believe it's an encouragement to us, if we have not accepted Christ as our Savior, to invite Him into our life and to lift up that cup of salvation to the Lord, to thank Him for saving us. Does that make sense? I think it does. A promise made. There's a promise made here in this verse and the verse following. And there's also a precious upgrade, if you will. You know what an upgrade is. If you have a computer, it always needs upgrading for some reason. And it even upgrades if you don't want it to upgrade. We just seem to, you know, have these upgrades forced upon us almost. Well, there's another kind of upgrade that it truly will be an upgrade, and that's when we get to heaven. We won't have these broken down bodies, and we won't have these pains and these sufferings that we have here. We won't even have sin anymore. We'll be saved from the very presence of sin. And so there's a precious upgrade spoken of here where, and again, I think this was Hezekiah, because he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Hezekiah knew that he was a child of God. And he knew that his death was precious. And that's why God spared him from that death. I think many times the Lord takes us home. Every time a believer goes home, that life is precious in the sight of the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. Being safe in the arms of Jesus, not for time, but for eternity. And then there is a praise serenade. I love this part of it. In verse 17, he says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And here's the testimony of his praise, of God, what God had done in his life. Offer of that sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. Don't hold it back. Don't think, well, I'll do that when things get a little better. I'm struggling with these things now. No, do it now. And you'll find that God will lift that burden from your life. God will just not only bless you, but he will make you a blessing.